looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Everyone, welcome to Light on Living. I'm Light Coach Lisa, holistic nutritionist and life coach. And this is where I would normally say, helping to lighten the load of life's challenges. But I have news, everyone. I've got a new tagline. And the reason why is because it's exactly about stories. Is sometimes, well, most times and all times, our stories change. And just because we've been saying a story for a certain amount of time, or we like the story or we hate the story, it doesn't mean we have to stick to that story. So the brand new wonderful line for Light on Living is reasons to make you feel better. And that's exactly right now what, you know what, it's so neat how when we create, we're all creators. And we, whether we're authors and we want to write stories, or we are bakers, or we're whatever we are, we make metal things, who knows, whatever we do. But there's always a story about why we did it and how we got to a certain place and what did we overcome. And the most important thing is I would like to share with everybody, keep your story changing. Add to your story. Add chapters to that story. And that's actually one reason why I love anthologies. Now, I'm just going to just remind everybody in case they don't know, or tell everybody if they don't know. An anthology is a book, it's a complete book, but it's made up of multiple chapters from different authors. And I've always really enjoyed anthologies, because not because I have a short attention span, but I like to get that feel good really fast. And that's one of the taglines that I came up with that little tagline is reasons to make you feel better. Because there's a lot of stories out there that make you feel better. There are stories out there that don't make you feel good at all. And you think, nope, I don't want to hear that story, or I don't want to revisit that story. But the book that I am just in love with, and you guys know this because I spent the month of August just interviewing every one of the co-authors of this book, it's What Self-Love Got to Do with It. And it really has to do with everything, let me tell you. So I have a funny analogy about what I think anthologies are. And it literally came today because I hadn't checked the mailbox for quite some time, and I went to check it, and my goodness, there were a lot of flyers, like just tons of flyers. And of course I have my favorite, and I'm up in Canada here, so Canadian Tire is like my favorite flyer, and I just feel good. I feel better when I look at it, and it's probably because they sell lots of things that I would actually want or need. I'm a household kind of girl. I love when, you know, healthy frying pans are on sale, or a new cat toy or something. But there's certain flyers that make me feel good, and there's certain chapters when you read them, or certain stories, and you just feel good. Now, I love the Canadian Tire catalog as well. However, that's much more of a commitment. Now I'm going shopping and there's work to it. So I was kind of thinking how I love the chapters in an anthology, many of them, because they're like going through flyers. And usually what a flyer is, it's featuring something. It's featuring an item that they think people are, that's the season for it, or that they've put it on sale, or they have an abundance of it, or they're just trying to get your imagination going on. Wow, if I had that item, I would feel better. And so I kind of looked at these chapters like when you're reading a certain person's story, a certain author's story, they're sharing with you a struggle they had, just like if you didn't have a certain item, and then, you know, they've been through this whole event, and now they have this new thing, and from this book, we're really talking and honing in on self-love, and same with a flyer. It's, you know, you go out, if you had that rake, you could rake up all the leaves, and then you'd feel better, and you'd have all this cleaned up. So I kind of was relating flyers to these chapters. Today, specifically, we're going to do two stories. This is story time for the self-lover, and we are going to be reading two stories, and they're all incredible, so it's not like I have no favorites. This is the best part, and you don't have to. They're just all awesome, and somebody's going to relate to any one of them. But I just want to put a little shout-out to everybody right now. If you yourself are an author, Maybe you are actually, you're into poetry. Maybe you write poems. It could be anything. It doesn't have to be. You could write articles in a magazine, online or in print. I would love to hear from you if you would like me to read your poem, chapter, story, you know, anything like that. If you would like to hear it over the airwaves, and if it really is an uplifting, something you've come full circle to, where you've improved your life in some way that you feel that others would benefit. And you know what? This doesn't even stop at just writing, because if you've written song lyrics, and maybe they're in song, we have the musical chairs that we air once a month that we would love to feature your lyrics or your song as well. So just, I want to point that out to you, that there is a place to share your message, and it's right here. And today we're actually going to be starting with Dr. Stacey Cooper. And before I read her story, her chapter here, I have to tell you, this woman is, my gosh, she's full of light. Like, she is like a flashlight, like a really high-powered flashlight. And it's just, and why is that? You know what? I'll have to read the story. But there was a time that, you know, we're not so bright. There are times when we're not so bright, shining. And then there are times where we can't help it. It's like we have fresh batteries in that flashlight and we're just, whoa, ready to go. And the whole world just is so lit up. And you can't help but be lit up around it. So I'm just to tell you, I won't go into the whole thing because you can always find it about each author online. But I want to tell you about Dr. Stacey Cooper, that she is a chiropractic doctor, holistic health and wellness expert, lifestyle coach and author. And she was so proud. Oh my, like, goodness me, the pride that comes from her for being an author. Now, Dr. Stacey Cooper initially created a lifestyle balance solutions in an immediate response to suffering her own health crisis due to the lack of balance in her life. That's why I wanted to say that to you, because right now, if you want to listen to this next story, if you are really, you've got some imbalances going on in your life, and it's causing some health crisis. She was unaware of the extent of her strength or what this life-altering experience would uncover for her and her family. And the two words that I really want to hone in here are her strength. Like, she did not know her strength. And often we don't, because maybe we're afraid to take those chances, or those chances, we're not saying yes to them, yes to an opportunity where we can take that chance. And the other thing is she was unaware of what a life-altering experience would uncover for her family and herself. Now, when we hear that, at first I was like, oh, that sounds bad. but really, it's, who knows? I'll have to read the story. But sometimes we underestimate. That's the word I want to use. We underestimate ourselves, our family members, our loved ones. And you know what? Why not give everybody the opportunity to shine, everybody the opportunity to find their self-love and to really have that commitment and relationship with themselves where they get this opportunity with you. I mean, we need other people to be co-creators. And so I'm going to begin this story. So hang in here with me. If you're scheduling the call, we're going to be at probably 25 minutes to read the story, but we'll have a commercial break in the middle. So if you need a little break there, but let me just begin. And this is by Dr. Stacey Cooper. It's called 302 Days. We all know that's just about a year, and a lot can happen in a year, or a lot can't happen in a year. Our little family had enjoyed a wonderful afternoon on that gorgeous day. Derek was just 5 months old, Kayla was 2, and Lindsay was 4. We had just moved into our new country home in May, and the kids had settled early in bed that night. Life was extremely hectic, and my husband Dean, my high school sweetheart, and I just wanted to take a breather. I just wanted my Calgon moment. You all know what the Calgon moment, right? Is that bath, that nice bath? We had a new home. I had my chiropractic practice, and Dean was working shifts at the car manufacturing plant. We had had a new hot tub, and we were going to take some much-needed time for ourselves. What happened next was beyond anything that I had ever contemplated. It was my wake-up call. We were enjoying the sunshine, the breeze, and the warmth of the water. This was our little piece of heaven. Then, everything changed in an instant. As we were relaxing in the hot tub, I started to feel heavy pressure in my chest. I was experiencing heart palpitations. I could not catch my breath. It was not long before total fear took over, and I was completely panic-stricken. Without Dean by my side, I would not have made it out of that tub. As it turns out, I was in the early stages of a heart attack. Of course, that was the furthest thing from my mind, as I was a healthy, vibrant, productive 33-year-old woman with a young family and a new baby and so many people depending on me. There was just no way this could be happening to me. But it was. We have been taught that we need to be superwoman and that we have to do it all or we are considered weak. I am here to share with you a better way that I learned from this experience. This is why self-love is of the utmost and greatest importance, and it is my highest priority now, because without self-love, there is no health, vibrancy, love, or life, or existence of me. I welcome you to join me on the journey. And here's where we begin our days. Saturday, May 11th, 1996, graduation day. I graduated as a fourth-generation doctor of chiropractic from the same school as my dad and granddad. My great-grandfather started our practice in 1912, I love that, in our hometown of Brantford, Ontario, and up in Canada. This was truly an incredible day for the entire family. Dean and I had been married for 4 years, and he, along with both of our families, had supported me during my 4 years of university and for the grueling and intensive 4 years of chiropractic study. We were all very relieved, excited, and emotional as my whole future opened up that day. Graduation was held at the University of Toronto, and we celebrated at the Royal York Hotel with our entire family. It was a day of pride, joy, accomplishment, and excitement, and it truly touched my heart of my dad and my father-in-law stood up and gave their speeches congratulating us. My dad was bursting with pride, and my father-in-law was thrilled to be able to welcome a doctor into the Latimer family. I was deeply touched when Dean stood up to share his congratulations on how proud he was of me and all that I had accomplished with all my hard work. He also then congratulated the new grandparents at the table. Yes, we were expecting our first baby. This was met with great whooping and hollering and tears of joy, lots of kisses around the table, as well as the lighting of cigars, I might add. Thank God that's not a lost thing. Life continued to unfold very happily for us. Dean was working full-time, and I started practicing with my dad. 2 months later, Lindsay was born. And 2 years later, Kayla arrived. I was balancing my practice and my home life as I was in the office 3 days a week after an 8-week maternity leave with each of my girls. Being self-employed, if you're not in the office, you aren't getting paid, but the bills still come. My practice continued to grow, and Dad and I were working very well together. Saturday, November 18th, 2000. Everything changes. That was the day that everything changed, the day Dad was no longer able to practice. 4 years prior, Dad was diagnosed with chronic inflammatory, demyelinating polyneuropathy. It is an autoimmune condition and had been managed, but on this day, he was no longer physically able to work. I was 4 months pregnant with our third child. Let's turn the page back. At that moment, I had no concerns at all because, of course, I was expected to handle it all. My life was turned completely upside down, and I do not ever remember a time when I felt such overwhelm. I had to interview and hire babysitters and then schedule care for the girls around Dean's shift. The stress I experienced was incredible as I was managing the full caseload of two practices as well as running our business entirely on my own. We did not know if Dad would be able to come back to the office or not. There was always hope, but in the end, he never did return. The month prior, a very dear high school friend of ours had lost her husband due to an adverse medical reaction. She then found herself living in her childhood country home with her two younger children all alone. At Christmas time, she decided to move to the city, closer to her parents. She was thrilled to give us the opportunity to have a country property which we had always dreamed of. My dad's advice at the time was, if this is where you want to be and what you want to do, don't let money stand in your way. We were to become new homeowners. February 2001, no time for relaxing. As much as I love practicing chiropractic, it was taking its toll on my body physically. Along with working full-time, we were also in the process of selling our home and packing up to move. I was very pregnant, and I was in the office adjusting patients 40 hours per week. We practice full spine manual adjusting, so my work is very physical. At this point, I had to wear a support belt to hold my pelvis and sacroiliac joints together. When the end of the pregnancy draws near, the body prepares by secreting hormone relaxin. Oh, I get her title now. That's funny. This enables ligaments to loosen and to allow the pelvis to open and become more flexible in preparation for the passage of the baby during delivery. I was working a lot, too much. I was thoroughly enjoying each moment at the office, but as soon as I was in my car on the drive home, it was all I could do at the end of the long day to crawl into an Epsom salt bath to relieve my aching, tired muscles, then straight to bed in order to just do it all over again the next day. I was missing my girls, my husband, and my dad. At that point, it was business as usual. There was no time to feel anything. The tasks at hand were too great to leave any room for feelings. My due date was March 30th. For my other two pregnancies, it was always dad who took care of my patients while I was on my 8-week maternity leave. I did not have this option this time around, so I had to go through the process of hiring a locum who would be suitable to take care of our patients. We originally decided to have him enter the practice on March 15th, but we had him come into the office on Monday, March 5th instead. This turned out to be a very good idea. Well, Friday, March 9th, 2001, Derek arrives. Should I go into it? I have a minute. Okay, let's go a paragraph. Friday, March 9th started out just like so many other Fridays before I would drop the girls off at the sitters at 8 a.m. On this Friday, Dean was working nights. He would pick the girls up at lunchtime and then would all nap at home together. I was then expected to arrive home just after 4 p.m. Dean would have supper ready and then he would head off to work 20 minutes after I walked out the door. That was the game plan. This is what actually happened. And here's where I'm going to pause, as I know we're going to be sneaking up to commercials. But as you can see, I love that she's sharing the timeline. And we're going to figure out what happens when we return.
Best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Enjoy passive income benefits while creating a cottage experience for others. From a relaxing getaway to connecting with nature, sitting around flickering campfire light, dipping in cool, refreshing waters, strengthening your body with biking, hiking, boating, and swimming. And you have the cottage that could be a part of all of those memories while earning you money. Financial abundance as a thank you for renting your cottage. Become a cottage rental owner today, safely and supported. RentCottage.com.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
All right, wonderful. We're back. We're listening to Light on Living, but we're doing story time for the self-lover. And we have left off with Dr. Stacey Cooper's incredible chapter here. She's building us in suspense. And what we left off with was, this is what actually happened. And I love how we say that, because there's always a plan, right? There's always a plan. Everything's supposed to go smoothly, even if there's been some adjusting. And then we go, oops, okay, not that. That plan's not going to work either. So here we go. As we said, this is what actually happened. I dropped Lindsay and Kayla off at 8 a.m. as planned. We like that. As I was leaning over 2-year-old Kayla to unzip her coat, I felt a stitch. This was 3 weeks prior to my due date, so I didn't think anything of it. On hindsight, that was the start of my labor. I went to the office and continued to prepare the locum to take over our practice, and I continued to do the majority of the adjusting, too. Occasionally, I would have to pause and stop to allow tension in my abdomen to pass. At noon, I checked in with my midwife. She determined that what I called abdominal tension was labor contractions, which were 1 minute long. She then said, you get yourself home, put your feet up, and then we can determine whether this is false labor or not. Well, that was put on hold as Dad dropped into the office. He wanted to check on things and to see how the locum was doing. As I was giving Dad his adjustment, he asked how my day was going. That is when I said, well, I've been in labor all day. He just about freaked. He told me to alert Mom and get myself home. I had not yet spoken with Dean. Boy, was he going to get a surprise when I got home. I sorted everything with the locum, and I was able to leave the office at 3:10 p.m. As I was barreling through Osborne Corner, shifting gears on the 12-minute drive home, in my mind I said, I dare any cop to pull me over now because they're going to be delivering this baby. I was in transition. As I arrived home and roared up the driveway, I cranked on the emergency brake and I made it to the house, hunched over and holding my belly. I arrived at the door and said to Dean, just tell them to come. I knew without a doubt that this was not false labor. The baby was coming. Dean delivered our baby boy on our bed with Lindsay and Kayla rubbing my back. My mom and the midwives looked on from the doorway. Derek was born at 4:28 p.m. It was truly a magical day, and the entire family gathered that evening at our home for a birthday dinner. Get it? Birthday. Birthday dinner to celebrate the first grandson. Everyone was so happy, and Dad said, finally, one with a handle. There were already 4 granddaughters on my side of the family, and my father-in-law was so thrilled to have a boy to carry on the Latimer name. This day was the official start of my maternity leave. Just 2 weeks later, my dad was admitted to the hospital in Hamilton. Tuesday, March 20th, 2001, Dad is admitted to hospital. Dad ended up with cellulitis and was admitted to the hospital 40 minutes away. Those days were filled with many obstacles and challenges. My mom and I were at the hospital with him to help when the nurses weren't available. It seemed like every single day there was more bad news. Dad was battling as hard as he could, but his body continued shutting down. It was heart-wrenching to see him bedridden when he had been such a strong, athletic, and active leader in our community. He was rapidly losing weight and having multiple adverse reactions to medications. It was grueling for all of us. His body was always one step ahead of what the doctors were doing, and not in a good way. He couldn't eat because of the sores in his mouth. He couldn't drink. He would pull out his PICC lines. It was just unbelievable what he went through, not to mention the hallucinations and the mental anguish for my mom and him. At one point, he said to me, well, this sure is a terrible timing. I had a baby in tow. The truth of it was that Derek was a huge blessing and enabled me to be with my dad during the difficult time. Otherwise, I would have been in the office full time and at home with my girls and Dean, and I just wouldn't have had the time to get to Hamilton. I love that. Has everybody just really noticed that? Like, that, what a gift. Saturday, April 14th, 2001. My birthday. Yay, she's an Aries. I don't even recall my birthday. Winter was ending in Ontario and spring was dawning. My mom was looking forward to the day that my dad would be coming home, and she had everything ready for him. Derek was just 5 weeks old, and I was still on my maternity leave. I was able to spend a little more time with Lindsay, Kayla, and Dean. Our house was sold. We just had to finish packing up in our home and taking care of all the details so that we could move. I continued to spend time with Dad, and of course, I was sleep deprived because of our new baby. Monday, May 14th, 2001, our dream home. What an exciting day. The keys were handed over to us for our new home. The house was empty for the week, and all the contractors would be able to get their work done before we were to move in on the Friday. With everything going on, Dean and I were back and forth between the two houses all week. The girls were at the sitters for part of each day, and I did not make it to Hamilton even once. Friday, May 18, 2001, moving day. The week certainly flew by. The movers delivered the girls' furniture, and all I had to do was make their beds. We decided to have their rooms painted identical to our previous home. It truly felt like home, and the transition was really easy for us all. It was so nice to just to get in bed that night and enjoy our new home in the country. Saturday, May 19, 2001. Dad was stabilized. Dad called me from Hamilton at 6 a.m. Of course, if he was up, everybody should be up. He was so excited for us and the move that we'd made, and he wished that he could see our new home. We always valued the opinions of our parents and included them when we were purchasing our homes. They all had viewed the property with us in January when we were considering buying it. I told him that it would not be long before he would be over to see it. He was stabilized now, and we were just waiting for him to build up the strength before he was able to come home. What a day that would be. He had called me because he wanted me to come down and give him an adjustment. I headed down as soon as I finished nursing Derek. We had a great visit, and I stayed most of the morning. We then spent the rest of the day trying to start the process of getting settled at home, unpacking and catching up on a nap. Oh, I love these little naps. Sunday, May 20th, 2001. Laughter with friends. Dad called Mom at 4:30 a.m. to see if I could come back down again. He knew I was busy, but he had missed me over the last week, and I missed him too. All the time that he had spent in bed over the past 9 weeks was hard on his physical body. I called him at 6 a.m. and told him I would come down after lunch when the girls were napping. I had not seen the girls that much that week either, and family time was important. Mom came to the hospital a little bit later, and some friends visited too. It was a great afternoon with lots of laughs and memories shared. When Derek and I left at 4:15 p.m., I gave Dad a kiss goodbye and said, "I'll see you tomorrow." Finally free. Derek and I had barely stepped in the door at home when the phone rang. The nurse asked if I could immediately return to Hamilton as Dad was not doing well. It turned out my dad was already gone. He was 57. His body had shut down completely with a massive heart attack due to interactions with medications. As I was racing back to Hamilton with Derek, I was always watching the highways to see if my mom was coming from the other direction so I could catch her on the way. When I arrived at the hospital and saw my dad, all I could say was, "You are finally free." I was so happy that he was released from his suffering. I finally reached Mom at home, and all I could tell her was that she needed to come back to Hamilton. I could not tell her that Dad was already gone. She left immediately and refused to have someone drive her. I was able to have some close friends at the hospital for when she arrived to help and support us. My younger brother was at work and was able to come right away, and our youngest brother was away for the long holiday weekend camping trip. Dean made the trip to bring our brother home. One of the greatest difficulties was that my mom had never contemplated that Dad wasn't coming home. She had everything ready. The house, the yard, the pool was all ready for his return. She was completely and utterly devastated. It seemed like her world ended when her high school sweetheart left her. While at the hospital, I contacted a family friend who was a funeral director. I let him know that Dad had just passed, and I asked, "What is the next step?" I assumed that some arrangements had been made, as Dad had been diagnosed 4 years prior. He had not practiced for 6 months and was hospitalized for 9 weeks. There were no arrangements made. We had to start at the beginning. Every one of us has our own story, things left unsaid or undone. I cannot speak to the regrets that any of us may have had at the time of Dad's passing. All I know is that I felt like I had to support everyone during the time of huge loss, because they were not just grieving, they were all suffering. Next, we had to make arrangements for my dad's funeral. Selecting a casket was quite the experience. Thursday, May 24th, 2001, Dad's funeral. The 2 days of visitation were a blur. I was still breastfeeding Derek while hundreds of people came to pay their respects. At Dad's funeral, I delivered his eulogy, with my voice wavering only once. I had not shed one tear for the loss of my dad. There was just no time for that in my life. There was no time for me. Monday, June 4th, 2001. Back to the office. Life around me was carrying on as usual. I was now supporting all of our grieving patients who were missing their friend, their doctor, and their mentor. I had not yet allowed myself to grieve. I had to hire an associate for the practice as I cannot do it all on my own. This added more stress and responsibility to my plate. Saturday, August 25th, 2001, 7:30 p.m., my Calgon moment, not. So here we are, the day of my health crisis, when the events of the previous 302 days came crashing down on top of me. I understand now that I was spared that day because my work here is not yet done, and I was to bring our son Jake into this world too. That event is when I realized to the very core that my husband and our three children and my why. I was determined to not let my babies grow up without me as their mother, and I would not leave Dean on his own. You may already know that any stressors in life, whether it be happy or sad events, will take your body out of homeostasis, the balance that body attempts to maintain 24/7. It seemed that I had all major life stressors, good and bad, occurring within the span of 302 days. And here we're going to bullet point them. An enormous shift in job responsibility. Dad was no longer able to practice. Huge uncertainty surrounding Dad's health. The increased physical workload while being 4 months pregnant. Purchasing our new home and applying for a second mortgage. Selling our home. Packing. Derek arriving 3 weeks early. Dad being admitted to the hospital 2 weeks later. Received possession of our new home, moved in, and lost my dad all in 6 days. Back to work 1 week later. Having to support my mom, my brothers, my children, my husband, my patients, my staff, and everyone else except me. Do you think that I was working just a little too hard? That my life was a little out of balance? Do you feel this way too someday? I was superwoman. I could handle it all. Yeah, right. My body started to shut me down. And the time came that I had no choice but to listen. Sleeplessness, loss of appetite, dizziness, heart palpitations, missed beats, racing heart rate. This is what led to my health crisis. I was just 33 years old. The big turning point was when my husband and our kids became my reason why, my reason to get balance back in our lives. It has taken some time, but we did it. We now have 4 beautiful children. I practice 28 hours per week and have incorporated me time. This is a hard entry in my calendar and into my life. What I do know is that our bodies are amazing at adapting to our environment. It handles change without you even thinking about it and informs you when things are out of balance. However, I've also learned firsthand that there is a finite limit to how it can adapt. I had no choice but to listen to my body because if I didn't, I wouldn't be here today. What I have learned is that I know that self-love has everything to do with it. When grief and feelings are buried, the body loses its balance. I just want to highlight that line. When grief and feelings are buried, the body loses its balance. The funny part is that your body does give warning signs, and they do start early, but we often ignore them because we choose not to deal with them. We tell ourselves, it'll go away on its own. If I had just done that when I was 33, then I would not have seen 34. My husband would have been raising our 3 children on his own, and our youngest would have never been born. It is much easier to correct a small problem than it is to turn around a major health issue. And for many, there's no second chance. As we know with heart attacks, they can come in an instant, and it can be over in seconds. I am one of the lucky ones. 17 years later, like a big jump. Through these experiences, there are so many things that I have learned. It has taken years of study, trial and error, combining many techniques, protocols, and different teachings for me to be able to develop balance in my life, with self-love being at the core concept of everything I do. I now begin every single day with me as the central focus because I have learned that if you don't take care of yourself, no one else is going to do it for you. Self-care is not selfish. It enables you to give more to all of those around. Without your health and well-being, and when you don't take the time to nourish your mind, body, and spirit, you will suffer. You will live a life of exhaustion. You'll be overworked, overwhelmed, frustrated, and living a life that you don't love. When you take care of yourself first, you will then be able to recharge your batteries, calm your mind to a peaceful place, and enable your body to be strong physically. This allows you to give so much more to all of those around you and those who you want to serve. And this then leads to you living the life that you love. I love pouring my heart into my clients to support them. I am here for you. For a complimentary consultation, she would love for you to contact her using the email in the bio above, which I did not read, but that's okay because we're going to put it there anywhere. But I have to tell you, she, Dr. Stacey Cooper Latimer, is, that's her original, or original, my goodness, maiden. These, what she's sharing is really true. I just love that. We don't know what's to come. We, there's so many beautiful things that are around the corner. Yes, there's going to be some challenging times, and yes, there's going to be some sad things. I mean, I was hoping I wasn't going to choke up there, and I'm glad I didn't. but in her mindset tips here, or lessons learned as well, it's that trying to be Superman, a superwoman. Oh my goodness, that's funny. Or a Superman. It's not attainable. It is unrealistic and creates so much undue stress in our already stressed out lives. And that was the one thing I do wanted to let everybody know. You know, it's about how we ignore things. And this chapter is all about self-love is not selfish. And it's not, don't ignore what's going on. It's a funny story. I've been talking about the sciatica that I've been struggling with. I don't want to say suffering, but struggling with. And I haven't even, I just keep doing my own thing when I can, and I'll just get through it. But I really should do some testing on that and figure what's going on. And here are the things, because you never know what if it's something else. And I never want to put any fear or anything. But you, everybody else, if you're feeling something, if it's a feeling, if it's a physical pain, if it's a mental thought, these are worth exploring. You are worth exploring. And that's what she's trying to share, because like she said, who knows what would have happened, and her fourth child would never have been born. And as we go, you know, I want to share that chapter first, because when we are back from commercial, I have just such a, you know what, listen to yourself, know that you're worth it, because guess what? The next chapter is called Spark Your Joy. And let me tell you, if you are suffering and struggling, remember she said about if you've got feelings and you're burying them, that your body's out of balance. You can't have a spark of joy when you're out of balance. And the spark of joy really, really helps you to acknowledge all those things that you're going through. And so we have Karen Warner's chapter when we get back. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about her when we're there, but really just think about that. Let's spark your joy when we come back.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com, M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
So I'm a cat. And I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
guys, you've got Lisa Berry here reading some beautiful chapters for Storytime from the for the Self-Lover. And we're reading the chapters from What Self-Love Got to Do With It. My book is just completely mangled because it's just been, like, it's become a workbook. It's so funny. I love all my notes. Actually, all my notes in it mean so much to me because something really stood out to me. Something was available to me that shifted my perspective. And when I read the title of this next chapter, Spark Your Joy, that's what that is. It's a shift, because a lot of times we can get stuck in a certain feeling. Just like when we read the last chapter from Dr. Stacey Cooper, we can get just not present and stuck on this like ongoing wheel, like they call it the hamster wheel, but I don't know. I have a wheel for my cat, Lucy, and she really loves it. So I want to use that analogy. But sometimes we can just get so not aware. And I think that's the difference. And, you know, you think of a spark. I mean, it's like, whoa, there's a spark. Ooh. And, it captures your vision and your attention and your feeling and your thought. So I'm so excited to read this chapter from Karen Werner. And Karen makes a difference in people's lives by causing miracles and being a source of power, like a spark, that creates self-love, joy, and success. And the neat thing with Karen here is that she, in her chapter, I'm going to flip over here, she actually gives us, I love this, flipping over here, she gives us the keys to creating self-love and the joy-filled life that you do love. And I think that's going to be fun, and I think you guys are going to find that useful. So let's find out some of these keys, okay? It's a little bit of a shorter chapter, but it just packs a punch. So Spark Your Joy by Karen Werner. And Karen is with a C, and I always want to call her Corinne. So it's Karen, C-A-R-I-N-E, Werner, W-E-R-N-E-R. The truth is self-love has everything to do with it. As a young girl, I was lost and couldn't begin to have an ounce of self-love or even know what that was. I remember looking around, always wishing I was more like someone else in my class. I always wanted what others had, whether it was their clothes, their looks, or their lifestyle. It was a painful way to go through life. Then came a pivotal year in my life. I embarked on a personal development journey. I invested in myself and took seminars. I worked with coaches to shed the insecurities and the beliefs that I was not good enough, a reoccurring theme that kept popping into my head repeatedly. Here's what I've learned. Our inner dialogue and personal affirmations go hand in hand and will either make or break us. Learning the tools and skills for self-love and a mindset to support it is key. I will teach an affirmation formula later in this chapter that will support you in achieving your highest and wildest wishes and dreams. Oh, I love that, wildest wishes. That's fun. What I found to be the core feeling in achieving self-love is joy. What comes to mind, or what feeling do you experience when you hear the word joy? Is it a specific person or event, such as Christmas or Hanukkah as a child? Your children embracing you and telling you that they love you? Is it a man or woman at your work or you follow on social media, or your spouse that always inspires you and sprinkles joy all around? For me, joy is sparked by the love of what my life is about, the people and things around me, family, and the opportunity to help others achieve success and joy. Drawing forth joy within yourself promotes healing and puts you on the path to creating self-love. Merriam-Webster defines joy as A, the emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of processing what one desires and delights. B, the expression or exhibition of such emotion, gaiety. And C, a state of happiness or felicity, bliss, source or cause of delight. Oh, I love that word, delight. When joy is invoked, it results in love for yourself, others, your true calling, and the environment around you. So how can you get to that point? Well, the most important thing is to surround yourself with people and things that spark joy. There was a book on decluttering by Marie Kondo that speaks about only keeping items that spark joy inside of you. Well, this rings true for creating self-love as well. The people you keep around you need to be the ones that lift you up and spark joy in your heart. Always remember, it takes more than one spark to light a flame. Good advice. Place items in your home and your work environment that truly spark joy, so when you walk into a room, you light up inside. In my kitchen, the number of protein powders and supplements kept out on my counter made an area look cluttered and uninspiring. I finally decided that I would order canisters to put the powders in and make the kitchen light me up when I was making breakfast and lunches in the morning. I splurged on Mackenzie's Child's glass containers with black and white check lids and a red knob. They looked awesome in my kitchen. It may seem simple, but it makes such a big impact on my day. Affirmations are incredibly valuable as well. Early in my life, I used affirmations daily. Here is how you create your affirmations. Come up with three or more adjectives of what you want to have in your life. So, like, I am a blank, blank, blank woman, man, leader, creating / attracting this and this with ease and effortlessness. Here's for example. I am a powerful, courageous, loving woman, attracting new business partners and customers daily with ease and effortlessness. Since I help create successful entrepreneurs growing an online business, that is a great affirmation for the result that I want to create. And I always end with ease and effortlessness because I think that's important. No one wants it to be difficult. Keep in mind how much time you spend in doing things, going through the motions. What about those to-do lists that are filled with a constant flow of never-ending tasks? How many of us get to say at the end of the day that we've accomplished every single item on those lists? Lastly, and most importantly, did it matter? As we hunt for joy and self-love, oftentimes it looks more like seeking approval. Completing tasks just to get appreciation and acknowledgement from outside sources. I'm absolutely guilty of that. It made me a highly competitive person and fed my need to win. However, winning never felt good because it was tied to something or someone showering me with praise for a job well done. And of course, if I won, I would be good enough for just that moment anyways. Don't get me wrong, acknowledgement and praise feel good, and I'm the first to give it. But when our lives become solely focused on doing, burnout, resentment, and fatigue can set in. Eventually, we feel of discouraged and disillusioned, which in turn affects our self-love and self-esteem. It's a vicious cycle that gets stopped in its tracks when you bring sparks of joy into your life. When I reflect on my life now, I love and honor and respect myself, and I acknowledge myself for the difference I make in people's lives. Oh, I love that. Oh, my goodness, I got carried away in our lives. I get to be a cause, a source of power for creating self-love, joy, and success all around me every day because I choose being before doing. Oh, I like that. I choose being before doing. Each and every one of us has a gift that makes us different, makes a difference somewhere and to someone. My gift is vision and the ability to share and create a vision with others. I honor myself in my heart by choosing to share my gifts. And as a result, I get to create and connect with joy daily. A few years back, I worked in the mortgage industry. It was where I learned to develop myself as a success coach and a mentor. I was very successful in the profession and had a killer life, and I'm grateful for it. However, I was rarely present in my life or with the people around me. I was too busy thinking about how to keep it all together and how I may appear to others. I was far as you could get from self-love. I was on the hamster. Oh, there's the hamster. I was on the hamster wheel of what a successful career life appeared to be. It took me down the path of burnout, despair, and depression. My life was all about the results. My life was all about the results I could produce each day. I would wake my kids up each morning and drive them to daycare and school and then go to work. That evening, I would then pick up the kids, come back home, feed them, bathe them, work some more, and then go to bed. Sound familiar? That was my life for many years. I was a great doer. My family time was compromised, and even when I was spending time with them, I was too exhausted to really revel in the moment. I had anxiety about what could happen when my loans or clients run. I had anxiety about what could happen with my loans or clients rather than being at peace and being present with my husband and children. My anxiety level was high, and I most certainly was not living by the tools I live by now. After years of this crazy lifestyle, I knew I wanted something different. I craved it. I realized I needed to reinvent myself. I wanted to create different results for myself while continuing to help others at high level. I had to design a new vehicle that would bring the income I envisioned and the freedom to spend quality time with my family and friends. I needed to rediscover my passion and find my joy again. As my reinvention began, I had to really get clear and be brutally honest with myself on what I wanted my lifestyle to be like and not settle for anything less than the vision that I created. I read books, I studied, I took classes in everything from hypnosis and Reiki to master business coaching. I peeled back layer after layer, diving in and really allowing myself to transform and blossom into the loving, joyful source of power and miracles I am today. There was one last snippet of something that was holding me back. It was the one thing that was the hardest to let go of. Are you ready for it? Here it is. Giving up caring for what other people thought of me and being judged. This can be one of the toughest things as we live in the world of instant gratification where everyone appears perfect on social media. Ha! What a joke. The opportunity that I was embarking on was that I carried a lot of stigma in the past, but I crushed it and partnered with a marketing company. Guess what? My choice led me to a new level of self-love, enthusiasm, joy, and excitement. Once I made the decision to 100% commit, go all in and shook off the opinions of others, something big shifted in my life. I built a tribe of amazing people who wanted the same things I did. Self-love, joy, success, time, and the financial freedom to do things they wanted whenever they wanted. I chose to fully experience this new vehicle, and I'm inspired every single day. I share my joy and passion, tools and strategies with hundreds of people every day. I'm truly blessed and so very proud of my ever-growing team. My team members are inspired, enthusiastic, and becoming powerhouse leaders filled with joy and drive. Are you ready for the first key to creating self-love and the joy-filled life you love? I know I am. Number one, the first thing you must do when your eyes open in the morning is to affirm to yourself that you are happy, filled with joy, and are in great health. Follow with your desired result for that day. When I coach, I teach a visualization technique to use, and it's fabulous. Connect with me on social media, and I'll share it with you. The second key to self-love requires an optimal environment for continued growth. Always read. Listen to audiobooks and go to live events. Continue to stretch yourself and peel back layer after layer. This will be a huge benefit for your self-love journey. There are many personal and professional development companies all over the world, and it's an incredible opportunity to make big strides with big transformations relatively quickly. Number three, the third key is to be. Answering the question at the beginning of this chapter doesn't matter. Be joyful and inspirational. Feed your mind and soul daily with positive content that aligns with your dreams and goals. If you are an unhappy doer, what you are doing will not matter because it will never be enough. Your subconscious will seek out a match and hand you not enough, and your to-do list will be never ending or fulfilling. And lastly, the fourth key is to surround yourself with people who lift you up, who inspire you and make you rise. There is a saying that you become the average of the five people closest to you. If you surround yourself with negative people who are stagnant in their life and find joy in gossiping about other people and putting their success down, then you will too. Hang out and work with people who have walked the path before you, who have achieved more than you and cause you to operate on a higher level. Then you will rise too. In addition, people who feel good about themselves will always produce bigger and better results. Find your tribe and love them. It is what I do with my team. We lock arms and work together. I teach them how to help others build tribes online, how to create and achieve their vision and dreams. It's a high-level vibe, and it feels good. I want to leave you with just another significant aspect of my reinvention. Wake up with gratitude every morning. I still do this today. Every morning when I wake up, regardless how well I have slept or haven't, the first thing I say to myself is, I am happy, I am healthy, and attracting the best people in my life for me. I add that I already have my desired goals in my life. I begin the day in a positive light, no negativity allowed. I love myself today because I am what I do. I embody self-love and joy. I create my day the way I want it to be. I choose to share my gifts with others. I help other people experience happy and full lives, creating wealth, abundance, and priceless time with their loved ones. It is possible to become successful inside and out and accomplish your highest goals and dreams. Be, then do, and you will have. If I can do it, you can do it too. Oh, like there's just so many good things in there, and I love, love, love. Doesn't it seem to be the theme about being as opposed to doing? And yes, we all do. We want to do, right? We want to do. Yes. But be first. If you operate and do your doing from not a place of being first, as she said there, as Karen says right there, she said, you will get your match of like not enough. So as we wrap up this wonderful, wonderful story time for the self-lover, I want to just say thank you, first of all, right away for your beautiful chapters, Karen Warner and Dr. Stacey Cooper, for just sharing what you've been through and now this beautiful experience. Everybody, please connect with them on Facebook. And if you can't find them, you know what? Just find me, Lisa Berry, B-E-R-R-Y, Light on Living, and you know where to find me every Monday and every Wednesday for this month of November. And don't forget, we have our musical chairs coming up in December, first Monday of the month, and I am just so happy to be reading these wonderful stories with you. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing this beautiful time with us. And if you have a story that you want me to share, let me know, and I would be happy to see if we can get it on air. Okay, thanks everybody. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.